Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad al-Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Subhanaka la ilma lana إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح الله اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما أما بعد. The topic today is observing istighfar and daily practices. Observing istighfar and daily practices. The master, the authority, and tasawwuf, spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the ruh, of the nafs, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahimahullah, wa nawwarallahu marqadahu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumihi, ameen. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, said, if you are not sure that you will wake up in the night for the tahajjud and your ibadat, then it is better to observe all routine practices after the Isha Salat. Do it after Isha if you're not sure you're going to get up. This is from Anfas-e Isa, page 67. So, make istighfar. Make istighfar means to ask Allah for His forgiveness. You can simply say Astaghfirullah. Make istighfar when you wake up in the night. It doesn't matter what time you get up. You wake up in the night, make it a habit of sitting down and saying and thinking about Allah and thinking about one's shortcomings. And in the darkness of the night, say Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Some people set aside a routine devotional exercise in the night with tahajjud salat. The best thing for that is that one should wake up in the last part of the night. That's the best, of course, tahajjud time. And offer tahajjud and observe other devotional exercises. This is awla and afdal and best. But Maulana Thanwi rahimahullah has suggested a very easy procedure, as we will see, and it's quite beneficial for people who like very busy students, teachers who, you know, don't get much sleep. Let us first, Mufti Taqi Usmani, may Allah bless him, wow, such works he has done in this age and time, Mufti Taqi Usmani. He says, let us see what Dr. Abdul Hay, who was a sheikh, and Dr. Abdul Hay, his sheikh was Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi. Let's see what Dr. Abdul Hay suggests for those people who do not or cannot wake up in the last portion of the night. And many of us are like that. Just can't wake up in that last portion. Dr. Abdul Hay, rahmatullah alayhi, has suggested that if they happen to wake up in the night, if you happen to wake up in the night, whatever time it may be, they should sit down on their bed for a while. Just sit down. Make supplication. Make a little dua right there on your bed. Make dua and make istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Astaghfirullah. 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 Alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Or any type of istighfar. So make dua and make istighfar in these words three times. At least three times make istighfar in these words. Allahumma gfirli. Allahumma means Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive me. Allahumma gfirli. O Allah, forgive me. Allahumma gfirli. O Allah, forgive me. For, this is not baseless, you know. Wow. For a hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that a caller calls out for Allah in the night, amunadin yunadi. Every night a caller calls out for Allah on behalf of Allah. Hal min mustaghfirin fa aghfira lahu. Is there anybody who wants to be forgiven that I may forgive him for his sins? And this angel is calling out this on behalf of Allah. Is there anyone who seeks forgiveness that I may forgive him? Now, the caller may proclaim. So the angel is proclaiming. The caller may proclaim. But if man sits unconcerned and asks for nothing, then that is a very indifferent attitude and a bad attitude. Because Allah is saying, you want something? You want forgiveness? So, if one happens to wake up in the night and cannot offer salat, but he wakes up, but he can't offer salat, he should at least sit down and observe the foregoing practice, make a little dua, and say, Allahumma gfirli, Allahumma gfirli, Allahumma gfirli, and then go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Anyone who does this with regularity will, insha'Allah, be enabled one day. One day he'll be enabled to offer the tahajjud salat. This is a step towards it, a start towards it. Because taqwa grows taqwa. Piety grows piety. Allah has caused piety, that is Allah's way, His sunnah. He has caused piety to grow more piety in a person. And you would notice that you start doing certain things and then you want to start doing a little more. So when a person makes dua in this manner and has iman in his heart, he will tell himself that he might as well get up and offer a few rakat salat. One day he is going to start doing it. Gradually, Allah gives him more ability because taqwa, piety, grows more piety. Another way is tahajjud with Isha, especially for students. Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayhi has suggested that if one cannot hope to wake up in the night, then after the Salat of Isha, but before the witr, he may offer a few rakat as tahajjud. Do it as tahajjud and do it before the witr. This method is not baseless, but it is based on hadith. Rather, the Maulana has cited the following hadith from Mu'jami Kabir. An Iyas ibn Muawiyah al-Muzani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, La budda min salatin bilayl. It is essential to offer some salat in the night. It's very important, said the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La budda min salatin bilayl. Walau halba shatin. Even for the time it takes to milk a goat, even if it's that short time, offer some salat in the night. وما كان بعد صلاة العشاء الآخرة فهو من الليل. And the salat performed after the Isha will be regarded as salat in the night. وما كان بعد صلاة العشاء الآخرة فهو من الليل. It will be regarded in the night. Hadith of Mu'jam, hadith reported by Imam At-Tabarani also too. So you know what is the secret here? The darkness of the night. It's a time which brings sukoon, serenity and tranquility. A little worship in the darkness of the night. And don't have too much lights on. Darkness of the night. Don't disturb anybody. A hadith tells us of the deeds that take one to Jannah. The deeds that take one to Jannah. And we all want to go to Jannah. Allahumma ameen wa la gibas. Grant us Jannatul Firdaus, please. Ameen. After enumerating many deeds, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the deeds that will take a person to Jannah. And after enumerating many deeds, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke the beautiful words. And just this you should remember. وَشَيْءٌ مِّنَ الدَّلْجَةِ وَشَيْءٌ مِّنَ الدَّلْجَةِ. Dalja means darkness of the night. And something, a little in the darkness of the night. A little ibadat. Some little worship in the darkness of the night. وَشَيْءٌ مِّنَ الدَّلْجَةِ. Stand before Allah in the darkness of the night. And submit your petition. It's time to petition, time to beg. And Allah loves this. This is one of those deeds that takes a man to Jannah. I remember the story of the great muhaddith, the great faqih, the great scholar, the great tabi'i, student of Hazrat Ali, karramallahu wajha, Hazrat Hassan al-Basri. He said, when people die, the great mashayikh, when they die, they are normally seen in a dream by those who are close to them. And he was asked, how did he fare over there? And the great Hassan al-Basri, everybody knows Hassan al-Basri. He said, you know what Allah accepted from me? It was those hours or time spent in the darkness of the night. That is what Allah accepted from me. And the Nabi is saying that this is one of the deeds that takes man to Jannah. So, if that cannot be done in the last part of the night, which is the best time, tahajjud, let it be in the earlier part of the night, for it is still night and it's still the darkness of the night. Or it can be after Isha. The hadith narrated above is very clear. وَمَا كَانَ بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْإِشَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. The time that is after Isha is all part of the night. وَمَا كَانَ بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْإِشَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. That time of ibadat that is after Isha is all part of the night. So whatever worship is performed after Isha will be counted as standing in the night. The true time of tahajjud, but those who can get up for tahajjud, of course this is best, awla wa afdal. The scholars have said, therefore, that it is best to offer the tahajjud in the last part of the night. So if the night is divided into two, then the best time is the other half of the night. After midnight, the other half of the night. If you divide the night into three, the last third of the night. Anyway, the best course is to offer tahajjud after midnight and after having slept for some time. This is called tahajjud. After having slept for some time and then waking up from that sleep and then performing the salat. That is what is known as tahajjud. Because the word tahajjud is derived from the masdar hujud, which means to sleep in the night. So after sleeping in the night, that is called tahajjud. This is from Misbahul Lughah. However, it is difficult for anyone to get up in the night. If it is difficult for anyone to get up in the night, then he may offer it in the first part of the night so that he is not deprived of its excellence. وَشَيْءٌ مِّنَ الدَّلْجَ. However, he must resolve that if he wakes up in the last part of the night, then he will offer it again. Offer it again. If he doesn't get up, the rakat he offered already will suffice. Some people make remarks about the two rakats after the witr salat. Where that come from? The Hanafis do it. Two rakats after witr. You not know that? It is stated in a hadith about the two rakats of Nafil Salat after witr. See, what sometimes people get confused with is when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that waj'alha akira salatika aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make your witr the last salat. The Prophet said that. That is for a person who is accustomed to getting up for tahajjud. He will read his tahajjud and then read the witr as the last salat. But if you're not accustomed or you have fear you wouldn't get up, read your witr. And then reading witr doesn't prevent you from performing tahajjud afterwards. It is stated in a hadith, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, about the two damat barakatuhum, two rakats of salat after witr, that they are offered so that if one does not wake up later, then he may not be deprived of tahajjud. It would count as tahajjud also. Thus, if one offers a few rakat in the first part of the night, he will get the excellence and reward of tahajjud, for he has found something in the night. And hadith says, مَا كَانَ بَعْدَ صَلَاتِ الْإِشَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. They stand for tahajjud. Once I wrote to my Shaykh, Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana, Mufti Taqi is saying, I wrote to my Shaykh, and this is what I told him. Maulana, I long for the ability to avail of this part of the hadith, Shay'un min ad-dalja. But my natural weakness and irregular sleep deprive me of the opportunity, but I long for it. My Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hay, wrote to me. He said, you already offer Salat after Isha, and that stands for Shay'un min ad-dalja, something of the night. May Allah enable all of us to get the opportunity, and may He not deprive us of its blessings. Ameen. A thing about dua is whenever you hear dua, you should say Ameen. Nowadays, people do not say anything at all. They remain silent. Dua is the Ameen is the seal for that dua. That's the seal for the dua, you see? Ameen. So, observe your routine practices after Isha, because sometimes you're busy throughout the whole day. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi also said that the regular devotional exercises set aside for tahajjud may also be observed after Isha. Inshallah, they would be like having observed at the time of tahajjud. Seek forgiveness if not observed in full. Sometimes you have your zikr to do, you have things to do which have been given to you by your Shaykh. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, if one cannot complete his routine devotional exercises because of preoccupation, then he may observe as much as he can, as much as he can. Islam is a simple way, ad-deenu yusrun. that which he cannot will be compensated with istighfar. That's the secret of istighfar. It compensates for that which was lost, istighfar. It will be compensated with istighfar and repentance, tawbah. This is enough to keep it going from anfasi Isa. One must draw up his regular practice carefully within his ability to fulfill them. It should not be so much that you can't fulfill them. However, if due to some pressure, the like of which hinders almost everyone today, he cannot fulfill his task, then he must not feel dejected, because shaitan comes and attack you now. He can do out all your zikr and makes you feel dejected. He may observe as much as he can and make istighfar and repentance for the undone balance. And this istighfar will be a compensation, inshallah. So sometimes a person may reduce but not omit altogether. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say that the regular practice must not be omitted altogether, though it may be reduced when unavoidable. Thus, if your recital should be 100 times and you cannot do it, then make it 50 times, 30 times, 11 times, 7 times, or even 3 times, depending on your ability. Resolve to go to bed only after you have made the recital as many times. But do not miss it out altogether. Don't omit it altogether. You can reduce it sometimes. Leaving the whole deprives one of blessing. But as for the reduced portion, Allah will accept that too, inshallah. Make istighfar for the rest. At the same time, as you reduce your daily devotional exercise, express regret and helplessness. That should be a feeling inside of you for what you are unable to do, and seek forgiveness for it. Istighfar, seeking Allah's forgiveness, has the property to compensate what man has missed. And this is so deep. Remember it. Istighfar has the property to compensate what man has missed, quantity-wise or quality-wise. Quantity-wise or quality-wise. Tahmeed and istighfar after worship. We should start this practice from today, inshallah. Tahmeed and istighfar after worship, after any form of worship, to say Alhamdulillah and then to say Astaghfirullah. I heard, said Mufti Taqi, Damat Barakatuhum, I heard a saying of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu from my mentor and my sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatul Alayh. And this statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was, if anyone says, after making worship, he says, Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah, the devil, the shaitan, says that this man has broken his back. This man has broken his, meaning the devil's back. He has broken my back. And this is from whom? A saying of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, quoted by his sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hay. Again, the statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If anyone says after making ibadat, worship, he says, Alhamdulillah, and then he says, Astaghfirullah, the shaitan says that this man has broken his back, meaning broken the devil's back. So we see that these are two cures here. Istighfar is a cure for the devil's attack, and the devil is continuously attacking. He wants to take everybody with him into Jahannam. He is aduwwum mubeen, an open enemy. When the shaitan attacks in two ways. He attacks in two ways. One of these he uses when man has offered salat. And the shaitan comes to him and tells him, what kind of salat is this? You have jumped through its postures and made a fun of it. You will not get any reward for it. What kind of salat you offer? In other words, the quality not even good. He makes the man then feel dejected and hopeless. The cure for that is to say, Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness for any shortcoming in this salat or any ibadah that you do. That's the cure for it. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness for any shortcoming in this salat. Allah will offset the shortcoming, inshallah. He will offset that. Istighfar perfects every defective deed. So even though the deed is defective, the istighfar perfects it. That's one cure, istighfar. What's the second cure from the qawl of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? The second way in which the devil attacks is that when man has offered salat, and now he offered a good salat, he puts great ideas in him of his salat. And it doesn't have to be about salat. It could be a bayan, a khutbah, any kind of good act. So this is the second way shaitan attacks. He puts great ideas in him of his salat. And the shaitan says, what a high level of salat. And the man starts to think about this because shaitan put that idea inside of him and he thinks, what a high level of salat. Wow. And the man becomes proud and imagines that he is nearer to Allah. Oh, I am a wali now. I am nearer to Allah. He behaves like the proverbial weaver who waited for wahi and revelation after offering two rakats of salat. Now he's waiting for revelation. The cure for this malady, because we are affected sometimes by both, by sometimes not doing it good quality-wise, and we feel dejected, istighfar will compensate. And sometimes we do it real good, but the shaitan doesn't leave. He says, wow, you do that real good, boy. The cure for this malady is to say, Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah. Alhamdulillah. After offering the salat, say Alhamdulillah. Thus, recognizing that Allah had enabled him to offer salat. That is what it means. When a man says Alhamdulillah, he has offered a good salat, he's saying, it's not me, you know. It is Allah who has enabled me to do that. Allah has given me the tawfiq to do that. And that should be a practice with us for all our good deeds. Remember the story of the Battle of Khandaq, Mujahid, the Ghazwa of Khandaq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is digging the what? Trench himself and carrying dirt. His belly is covered with what? Dust. And he's reciting the couplets of Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Fawallahi, by Allah, lawlallahu, had it been not for Allah, had it not been for Allah and his hidayat and his tawfiq, mahtadayna, we would not have been rightly guided. Wala tasaddaqna, we would not have even given sadaqa. Wala sallayna, nor would we have given, performed salat. Fa anzilan sakinatan alayna, wa thabbitil aqdama in laqayna, innal ula قَدْ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا إِذَا أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا أَبَيْنَا أَبَيْنَا. So for everything the shaitan comes. And somebody come and say, boy Abdullah, you give a real nice khutbah today, boy. What a real khutbah. You say, what? Alhamdulillah for the salat that I did, or whatever good action, and it was good. because he's saying it is Allah who has enabled me. Nothing happens without Allah's will. So after every salah, say Alhamdulillah and say Astaghfirullah. Both these declarations frustrate the devil who confesses that he cannot misguide the man, because it breaks his back, according to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Breaks his back. I can't misguide this man, boy. Because after every salat, after every ibadat, he's saying Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. As well as in hadith comes about saying Astaghfirullah three times after what? Salat. You see the practice here, sometimes salat finish. You would hear the Nabi used to say sometimes, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. The ahadith do confirm that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made istighfar three times after every salat. That is from the ahadith. So there is basis for this. The ahadith do confirm that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made istighfar three times after every salat. So do that too. The question arises that one seeks forgiveness after committing a sin, while here it is made after offering salat and you're still asking for forgiveness. Why? In fact, it is a confession that the salat has not been up to the mark. It brings humility in you. My salat wasn't up to mark. It could never be up to mark. You know whose salat was up to mark? The salat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salat of his sahaba, my salat. So forgiveness is sought after the salat. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Istighfar 70 times. Allah has granted us a very effective antidote in istighfar. Istighfar is a cure. It is also an antidote. We must make it every time. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that he made it 70 times in a day. Hadith of Bukhari, 70 marra. And in some riwayat, 100 marra, 100 times. But you know what 70 and 100 mean? It doesn't mean literally 70, you know. The ulama have said that the word 70 marra, 70, represents a large number. The muradia is kathrat, a large number, not the limited figure. He made istighfar innumerable times. Then if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made istighfar innumerable times, though he was innocent, we must make it all the time then for us. We commit sin every now and then, and our worship is incomplete always, always. You know what's the beauty about, you know sometimes it's good to commit a sin? Somebody might say, you are a madman, boy. How are you saying that? Sometimes it's good to commit a sin. But a little bit of knowledge is poison. Hear the whole thing first. You come like a man who only hear the man saying, La ilaha. And he gone. And still a man is a kafir. And he didn't hear the man say, Illallah. The Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, has said often that man progresses in rank when he makes istighfar. You go up in rank. If he were not to err and make a mistake, he would not achieve the ranks he achieves after erring and making istighfar. That's what it means. Sometimes you're doing ibadat. But sometimes you make a mistake and you commit a sin. And then the amount of regret you have for that and the tears that you cry, you gone way up. Maybe 100 years of ibadah would never take you up that way. That happens through what? Your istighfar. If man were not to make a mistake, he would not achieve the ranks he achieves after erring and making istighfar. Sins defeated. Baba Najmi Ahsan Qaddasallahu Sirrahu was a very saintly man and a waliullah. And this is the purpose of our zikr, our tazkiyah, that we become counted as those who would be min al awliya, inshallah. Those who are near and dear to Allah. That should be our goal. Because you have Allah, you have everything. He was a saintly man, very close also to Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayh. Baba Najmi Ahsan was a great man and a great poet. His poetry was informal, like dags and mirs. He said, for instance, when I have a large asset of istighfar, how can my sins harm me? When I have a large asset of istighfar, how can my sins harm me? Dejection is liked. The Maulana Thanawi Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that when anyone commits a mistake and then makes istighfar, oh Allah, I'm so sorry, please, oh my Mawla, oh my Master, oh my Lord, oh my Rabb, forgive me. The resultant humility and humbleness that grows in the heart is dear to Allah. That is what is dear to Allah, because Allah likes this, the heart that is very dear to Allah. He raises man to high ranks through this. Sometimes one is made to commit a mistake, and that is so deep, and this is also from hadith. Remember the khutbah we heard in Medina when we went? And the Sheikh of Medina, Masjid al-Nabawi, was saying, quoting the hadith, how sometimes Allah makes people commit mistakes. This man, the Maulana would say, sometimes one is made to commit a mistake, you know why? So that humbleness grows in his heart. Because sometimes he might get too much at takabbur. And he says, wow, I'm so pious. So sometimes Allah causes him to make a mistake, get back humble. And his crying raises him to great ranks. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi would say that if a man weeps over his mistake, then he is very, very, very dear to Allah. This is what Allah loves. When you cry and you weep, you go down in sijda. You raise your hands to the heavens. If a man weeps, sometimes we know how to cry, you know, sometimes we cry for wife. We cry because we ain't a wife. We cry because wife given problem, children given problem. We have no money, no job. But if a man weeps over his mistake, then he is very, very dear to Allah. Innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. This man attracts. When he weeps over his mistake, what is he doing? This man attracts the application of Allah's attributes of being Sattar and Ghaffar, of covering up the faults and forgiving the faults. He's attracting these two attributes, Sattar and Ghaffar, which dominate now at this time. These two attributes dominate, Sattar and Ghaffar. Subhanallah. But beware of the shaitan. The devil wakes up people for tahajjud too, you know. The shaitan. Wow. The devil wakes up for tahajjud. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh has related an incident that Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Abi Sufyan, Muawiyah, he woke up for tahajjud every night. But one night, he failed to wake up and he missed his salat of tahajjud, Hazrat Muawiyah. When he woke up in the morning, he was very sad and wept and repented all day long for that mistake. Sad and wept and repented all day long for that mistake. He made istighfar. Next night, someone woke him up at the time of tahajjud. When he asked him who he was, Kaun hai? aap kaun hai? Who he was? He said, I am the shaitan. Ana shaitan. Ana shaitan. He asked, how are you concerned with waking me up for tahajjud? What business is that with you? Shaitan asked him, he says, ignore that now, don't study that now. Don't study that, don't study that. Ignore that, don't worry about that. But Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu insisted on knowing why he should ask him to pray. Have you ever held the devil in conversation yet? Huh? Never held the devil in conversation yet? Devil, very smart, very, very smart. He insisted on knowing why he should ask him to pray while he, the shaitan, stops people from piety. You stop people from piety, you like them to pray, why you wake me up for? The shaitan said, last night, I put you to sleep that you may not offer salat, but you wept and repented all day. As a result, your rank was raised very, very high. And that was higher and higher than you would have achieved on offering your tahajjud. That is why I woke you up, to prevent you from having further elevation in rank. So istighfar is very, very useful. However, it does not follow, but don't be misguided. It does not follow that you may commit sin. Say, well, let me commit some sin, man. I go do istighfar this evening. And then rely on istighfar. Rather, if you ever err and you should make a mistake, as human beings are liable to, then make istighfar again and again. Only then can man gain perfection. Whenever there is a shortcoming in worship or thoughts, say Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dham wa atubu ilayhi, or any istighfar. It is an antidote for every poison. So istighfar is an antidote for every poison, and the poison of the shaitan. South Africa's poisonous plant, South Africa. You've been to South Africa, why? Maybe you might know the story then. For every illness Allah has created, Allah has also created a remedy. And for every poison, Allah has created an antidote. In Cape Town, in South Africa, in Cape Town, we halted, said Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, we halted our car at a beautiful place for Salat, because I have heard Cape Town is very beautiful. While other people were performing wudu, Mufti Sab says, I went towards the beautiful plants and the trees. And as I stretched my hand to pluck a leaf from a beautiful looking tree, someone stopped me saying, no, no, Maulana, don't touch it. He explained that it was a highly poisonous tree, as harmful as a scorpion. I exclaimed that one who is unaware would suffer from its poison then. How terrible that would be. But he informed me that while that was true, another plant grows in the root of this very same tree. Another plant grows in the root of this very same tree, and that plant is an antidote for the poison. If someone touches the poisonous tree and gets the poison, then he must also touch the other plant in the bottom, and the poison would wear off. So Allah has created an antidote for every poison. And one who repents is purified of sins, and istighfar is the antidote. The devil, the shaitan too, is a poison. He is a poison. When Allah created him, he has also created an antidote that is easily available. We don't have to go to South Africa for it, which is to repent with a sincere heart and to resolve not to commit that sin again, saying, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanb wa atubu ilayhi. The Prophet tells us, At-ta'ibu min adh-dham, one who repents from sin, kaman la dhamba lahu, who is like one who has no sins. So as we end off today's lessons, one important thing is, you know, sometimes you wake whole night and perform tahajjud, but at the time of sahri, which is the time people normally take sahri, that time is good to say istighfar. Why make istighfar at the time of sahri? The Quran says, "Kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahjawun." They used to sleep but little at night. "Kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahjawun." They would sleep but little at night. "Wa bil asharihum yastaghfirun." And at the time of sahri, ashar hum yastaghfirun, they're making forgiveness. So whole night they're making tahajjud and everything. And then wabil ashar, at the time of sahri, just before dawn comes in, hum yastaghfirun, they begging for forgiveness. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha asked, she's asking about the tafsir of this verse. She said, "Ya Rasulullah," and you know she was brilliant, very smart and intelligent. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha asked, "Ya Rasulullah, why make istighfar at the time of sahri? They worship all night and committed no sin for which they are asked to seek forgiveness. So why al-istighfar at the time of ashar?" The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "They make istighfar for their worship. They make istighfar for their worship." In other words, he's saying, we did worship, as though they are saying, we did worship, but could not give it its right. We could not give it its right. We fell short. When they said that much, the worship is accepted. So that now accepts your worship for the night. Instead of feeling proud now at the time of sahri. Conclusion. Hence, we must accustom ourselves to make istighfar all the time. Whenever we remember a past deed, we must make istighfar. May Allah enable all of us to abide by these things. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?